We're continuing this series of lessons on the idea of run the mile you're in. This, as it were, continuing series with the idea of awareness. Obviously, there's something here that we're very much aware of, and that's pain. Question mark, exclamation mark, period. What about that? And when we look at this book, that the topics, at least the chapter headings that I've chosen to kind of focus on as bringing us through this whole series this year in awareness. When you talk about marketing, and that's what my background was in my educational undergraduate work at Ohio State, also in my master's degree, primary emphasis, that's what really I've done much of my life is be a marketer. We're all marketers. You see, we're all a product, a price, a promotion, a place. We're all product. We're a person. We have a price. We've sold ourselves, as it were. And we promote ourselves, and basically we also do that in a certain place. You may say, well, that's kind of demoralizing. That's kind of minimizing me. That's kind of putting me down. No, no, no. The reality is that there's value in seeing ourselves in that particular way because God sees us as very significant and important people. And that's where it comes in that we talk about you and I and what we do. So Ryan Hall, that as we've said many times, we'll say it again, and you may tire of hearing it, but you know, if nothing else, by the time this year is over, you'll say, I knew who Ryan Hall was. He's the American record holder in the marathon. And he wrote a book entitled, Run the Mile You're In. I don't want you to say that to me anymore. I've heard that enough over these weeks and everything, so, but I remember that now. But one of the chapter headings that he has is this chapter heading of pain, okay? And, of course, when you talk about pain specifically and you think about pain, the old hammer here, okay? What does that have to do with the lesson today? Any of you ever been out somewhere? I remember helping in constructing a couple church buildings in Virginia when I lived down there. And you're up on the roof and you're putting on shingles. And you don't have the staple gun back in those days like they do today. Maybe they had it back then. We didn't have one. We took each individual roofing nail and we took that roofing nail and we put it down there and... Well, you know what happened, don't you? What happened? I hit my thumb. Thank you, Bonnie. I hit my thumb. And maybe others said that. I didn't hear you, whatever. And what happened when I hit my thumb? Ouch. Oh! You know what I mean? You know, basically, you know, the first few times, what do? You restrain yourself, right? But then finally, you've hit your thumb so many times in that process. You try to be careful and everything. But the reality is, you know, you kind of tap that thing a little bit and then... You give it a kind of, you know, a second after you got it kind of anchored there a little bit, you give it the, oh, got it nailed in this time. And the problem is, man, that old thumb just, it took a beating, I must say, because there were too many times I hit my thumb rather than the nail. But, you know, pain, that kind of pain is something that, it's a kind of pain you'd rather do without. But you don't quit nailing the shingles to the roof because of the pain. Fingernail clippers. Clipping my nails here, I don't know, last week sometime. And what did I do? Have you ever, in clipping your nails, have you ever cut into the quick of your finger? Ooh. If you want to examine mine, you're welcome to do so. I'm not going to wear gloves after the service, but I'll be happy to show you this little thing that's here. And then every time, you know, you're doing this and you're doing that and you're touching this and you're touching that and, oh! I mean, that thing just has a pain. You don't go ouch every time, but it has a significant pain to it and everything. Anybody know about paper, what I'm going to say about paper? Paper cuts, that's right. Marcia can show you hers. You still have it, don't you, dear? You don't have it anymore? Okay, she doesn't like me pointing her out or using her as an example, whatever, but that's not going to stop, I'm sure, unless she stops me somehow. And if she does, you can go visit her in the, well, I won't say anything more. But those are very painful, aren't they? Paper cuts are a very painful thing. And in fact, you know, something that's as simple as paper, you would think that it wouldn't be so painful, that sharp edge and what it does and everything. But when you look at Ryan Hall in relationship to his life and you think about pain, the aspects of him as being the individual over a period of years that became the, as it were, marathon champ, he experienced a lot of these things we look at here in relationship to burnout, warning signs in terms of training and everything. Plantar fasciitis, that idea, that little, as it were, connection there between the back of your foot, the heel, and the front of your foot and everything. And if you continue to go ahead and stretch that so much, then what happens? You get that heel spur, you get that idea of the separation there of the tissue and everything, and it's a very painful thing. And there's two ways to take care of it. Number one, surgery. Number two is just quit running for a while and let it heal itself. And of course, blisters, ingrowns, bunions, calluses, black nails, when you have too much of the pressure there, maybe improper shoes and everything, stress fracture because of the fact of you're just putting too much stress there, maybe doing too much in terms of mileage, the Achilles tendonitis. The last thing here. One of the ways I think we can share with people, you know, the psalmist says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. There are two words of God. One is the written word of God, Scripture. The other is the creation of God, of which we are a part. Gene talked about the blood. 20 seconds, I understand. When you put a liquid into the body, it takes us approximately 20 seconds for the heart and the pumping mechanism and everything else about the circulation of the blood to kind of get that out through the body. 20 seconds. Wow, isn't that marvelous? Think about the nutrient effects to the different parts of the body and the reach that has and everything, and the literally, as it were, millions of miles of that whole connection that's within the intricate design of our bodies. And then you think of the foot. Wow. But what I'm saying is when we share with people, I think one of the things we can say, the other thing is the creation of God, not only the Word of God, but the creation of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth shows His handiwork. Day unto day at our speech, and night unto night knowledge. And when we look at we being fearfully and wonderfully made, and you think about your feet. But when we talk to people, I think one of the things that we can point to them today, does this just happen? Because really it boils down to two things in relationship to life, in terms of why we hear either matter's eternal and somehow all this stuff has evolved over millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions and quintillions and sextillions and septillions and octatillions and novatillions and decatillions. I don't know what 11 is, but I think those are accurate up to 10. But in endless time, as it were, versus the creation which God, as we go back and we look at the very beginning, what was the very first thing that God said to us? In the beginning, He created the heavens and the earth, and then He talks about His creation. And I think He gave His word in that particular way, in that emphasis of what was first and primary, to help us to understand, hey, this just didn't happen by a process of matter existing eternally. And whatever kind of years have passed, it just didn't happen. And so this marvelous feet that we have, 52 bones, 66 joints, over 100 ligaments, muscles, and tendons. And if you're running, here you go. I thought about wearing a pair of my shoes this morning, but I didn't. If you run a mile, you hit the ground with your feet approximately 1,700 times in a mile. Does anybody tell me how many feet are in a mile? There you go. There's a person that knows their feet. There you go. So we're approximately, think about that, because I was going to bring that out and everything. Thank you, Lisa. So actually, when you're running, you're actually covering about a yard at a time in each, actually, jaunt that you're doing, okay? So there's a lot of pressure on your feet. And my uncle said, he always talked about having a good pair of shoes. And he said, hey, and he always spent a lot of money on shoes, expensive shoes, but shoes that had good support. And here was part of what he had to say. He said, when you can't stand on your feet anymore, you're ready for 6 foot under. So it's important to have support that way, isn't it? And so we see that when we talk about Ryan Hall and what he did, there was no gain unless there was pain. And yet there could be over, as it were, emphasis in terms of what he did to where there were problems that each of us and he might have had if we did that. This is kind of a silly question. Because when we talk about pain, pain is a universal thing, isn't it? A baby does what after a while? Cries. And why does the baby cry? Because it's experiencing pain. It's experiencing hunger pain. There's all kinds of pain, isn't there? And so we think about pain, we're talking about the kind of pain that is acute, usually short-lived as it were, not very long. I mean, this particular pain, it'll pass in time. I slammed one of my fingers in the door of the van here recently within the last several months, and that finger just turned black. And it kept growing and growing and growing. I wonder, is that nail? Because that never happened to me. Some of you have done that, and you've had that blackened nail and everything, and you think, well, when's that thing going to finally heal? And over time now it looks normal. You'd never know I had that problem, would you? And yet this thing will, well, there it is, this one will in time, you know, the quick and everything, that'll heal in time. But chronic pain is something that happens generally more than 12 weeks over time. And acute pain, a normal sensation triggered by the nervous system alerting you to possible injury, take care of yourselves. And so your kids are growing up, and what you tell them, you say, they're over around the stove, and what do you say? The stove's been on, and you say, don't touch it. It's hot. And curiosity, like the cat, the curiosity gets the cat. What happens to most kids when that happens? Because of the nature of kids, they go ahead and touch it. Ah! Well, some parents try to keep their kids from ever doing anything like that. And some parents, don't touch it. It's going to hurt. Don't do that. It's going to hurt. And the rebellion within us and in them is such that they do what? They're going to go ahead and do it. And they do it, and they suffer the consequences. Even though you know they're going to. So there's pain involved there, and that's very acute pain. But then chronic pain. I want to share some statistics with you about chronic pain. I found this interesting, and this comes from the, if you want to look it up, I found it's a site that I didn't know that actually existed on the web. But if you want to look it up on the web, it's entitled thegoodbody.com. And chronic pain, this is pain that lasts more than 12 weeks. Now, I kind of wondered about this first one. Because if there's a relationship of a man to a woman, and you women are saying, yeah, I understand why this happens. Women are twice as likely to suffer from severe headaches or migraines and facial pain than men. And women may say, yeah, that's because we have to put up with you. Okay, no comment. 7% of people, persistent back pain develops usually into out of one out of every 14 people into chronic pain. 77% of people report feeling depressed because of their chronic pain. Half of the people who are chronic pain sufferers feel they have little or no control over their pain. And one out of every 5 American adults report that pain disrupts their sleep at least a few nights a week. People go to the doctor 2/3 of the time, 1/4 of the time they go to a chiropractor, and approximately 1 out of 7 times they go to someone specializing in pain. 30% of Americans, 100 million people, suffer from chronic pain. That kind of surprised me. More than 12 weeks. 1 in 10 Americans have experienced pain every day for 3 months or more. 1.5 billion people in the world suffer from chronic pain. And the most common kinds of chronic pain are lower back pain, more than 27%, Migraines 15%, neck pain 15%, and facial pain 4%. So chronic pain is a very real thing, and pain is a very real thing when we think about our lives. We think about how we deal with pain. There is as well physical pain. Yes, the body signaling something. Paul Brandt, I believe is his name, was an individual that worked in India with leper colonies. And lepers develop such a sensitivity that they don't have any sensitivity to be able to feel, and so they can hurt themselves because they don't have that sense of touch and feeling of things that are injurious to them, that injure them. But we have physical pain, and then we have psychological pain, and I call that mind-focused pain. And when the Lord said you're to love me, you're loving me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The psyche, the mind. That the engagement that God has given us in terms of how He's created us, that is such that we experience this mind interacting with acute pain, with chronic pain, with physical pain, and we also have, as it were, psychological pain as a result. Brian already shared this morning about the one up here that we talked about, the one with the issue of blood. Did Jesus address pain? Well, the paralytic, He healed him. What about the man that was born blind in John chapter 9? He healed him. What, Peter's mother-in-law? He took care of that. Lepers, He healed a lot of lepers. The demon-possessed, He cast the demons out. And in fact, in the beginning of His ministry, it says, as He went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and notice, healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about Him spread all over Syria, and people brought to Him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, chronic pain, demon-possessed, and those having seizures, and He paralyzed ones, and He healed them all. Jesus dealt with pain. Many other miracles did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe, and that believing you might have life in His name. You see, pain's a reality for us all. It's an ever-present reality. Many different forms, many different ways, but it's an ever-present reality. And we live with it. It's a fact of life. There's no avoidance of it. And the emphasis in what John has to say is not on the fact that Jesus is primarily working through us and other people so that people can be healed. What Jesus wants is, in terms of whatever pain is there and however we deal with pain, He wants us to believe in Him. He wants us to hold to Him. He wants us to trust in Him. He wants us to obey Him in the midst of whatever's involved in the pain. My physical pain. Well, James says, if you're sick, call for the elders of church, have them anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. You see, oil was used as kind of a designating thing in a ceremonial way, and it also had medicinal properties, and that's why they anointed with oil. It wasn't a magical ritual. You see, sometimes people read that passage and they make the whole thing a magical ritual somehow, as that anytime we ask God for anything in relationship to that particular situation, that He's going to do it. It's like the name it and claim it kind of an idea. Just name it and claim it. But you know, John says in 1 John, if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. The question was raised in the last week, what about unanswered prayers? You remember Garth Brooks and that particular song he had about his young romance and everything, and God didn't answer the prayer for that young thing and everything, and later on in life he reflected on it, he says, thank God for unanswered prayer. Well, God answered his prayer and He said no. And later on He said yes. That's kind of the emphasis of that song. And so when we pray and we pray about pain and we want alleviation from pain, we don't want people to die. We don't want people to continue to be sick. We want them to get well and everything else. But the reality is, it's appointed unto people once to die, and after this, the judgment. I don't know if you ever go to Ollie's. I go to Ollie's from time to time. I find books that interest me. And so I pick them up and I buy them and I read them sometimes. And sometimes I start to read them and I stop and I just get rid of them. But this is written, it's called Spring Chicken. Everybody know what a spring chicken is? Where did the term spring chicken come from, do you think? Anybody have any thoughts on that? Where did the word spring chicken come from? What do we used to do in the spring? I don't know. I spent 3 years on the farm. Do we ever buy any chickens in the spring? Why do we buy them in the spring? Because we wanted them to be layers later on. Or we wanted to take them out to that chopping block later on when Grandma says, hey, go out there and get one of those chickens out there. We're gonna have chicken for Sunday dinner. And I had a little old hatchet and everything, and I went out there. I'm sorry, this is grotesque, I know, to some of you, but went out there and ran and finally caught that chicken and took it up the old chopping block there and everything, laid the old head over and just, and then ran like crazy because, you know, that's flapping all over the place and blood's going all over the place. And I know some of you go, oh, you know, this is not what we came for on Sunday morning. But spring chicken. Stay young forever or die trying. Now, by the way, if anybody wants this, if you're the first person this morning, as a bonus for listening to me this morning, this is yours for free. Okay? I've already read it. And what did I learn about that? The author of this particular book, Bill Gifford, examines all these different ways in which we have looked at research, we've looked at life, we've looked at lifestyles, we've looked at food, we've looked at exercise, we've looked at stress, we've looked at medicine, and we looked at all of this stuff. Do you ever read something, you get to the end of it, and you're disappointed? Spring chicken. Stay young forever or die trying. What can I do to live longer? How can I have more years to my life? I've run for many years. I'm walking and running now, mainly walking. But you know, if you run on a regular basis and you run pretty seriously and everything, you can add a year to your life. You know what they've also found out? You used up a year of life to get that extra year of life. So it's like, cancel it out. You're spending that time, so you could decide either to add a year of life by running and whatever, and maybe you'll live a year longer, but used up a year of your life in doing that. So what's the net effect? Zero. For you that don't want to run or engage in that or exercise or not try that out and everything, so that's okay. But 2 Corinthians 12:7-10, a thorn in my flesh, Paul entreated the Lord 3 times, and God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You pray about your condition like Paul, and God doesn't answer that in a way in which you want it answered. My conviction is this, when I think about prayer and praying to God for whatever we pray about, that He always does what's according to His will for our life. We know that in all things, good and bad, I used to think it was just good, all things, God works for the good, that those that love Him according to His purpose. Those that love Him, according to His purpose for our life and what's best for us. That's what God does in relationship to the pain we're experiencing there. And then Ecclesiastes 12:1-5, I'm not going to take the time to read that, but I would encourage you to read the whole chapter, because you remember, the writer of Ecclesiastes says, remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Youth rallies. Talking about these kids, teenagers, adolescents, 12, 13, 14, maybe up to 20. And then once you get past 20, you cease to be a person that actually is appropriate for youth meetings. Really, that's not what Solomon was saying at all. Solomon's saying, as you go through life, you're finally in your youth, and you're going to have youth for a long period of time. He says this specifically, the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. Things start to get dim and cloudy and gray in life. The keepers of the house tremble. The strong men stoop. The grinders cease because they are few. And those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors of the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up with the sound of bird, but all their songs grow faint. When the almond tree flourishes, some of you have more almond tree than I have. That's white hair, okay? And then the grasshopper drags himself along. Just elasticity. So, we're looking at the reality, spring chicken. You know one thing they found out scientifically? That the cells in our body only have, it seems, programmed wise, to reproduce themselves a number of times. And after it reaches, as it seems, that magical number of times, guess what? We physically cease to exist in the physical body, not spiritually. So how many more replications of your cells and my cells do we have left? One of these days, they're more likely to go say, well, we've run all your tests on all your genes here and everything, and genomes and everything, and guess what? We're able to predict now you're going to live so many more years. Unless you die in a car accident or something else like that, I don't know. But the reality is that Ecclesiastes talks about we'll return to dust from which we came, but the spirit will go back to God who gave it. And then Paul would say, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. We all fight the weakening of the body as we get older. We lose about 25% of our ability strength-wise between the ages of 25 and 65. And that means when we get to be 65, we still got 75%. If we're actually using that in some way, hopefully we can do that. But the reality is our body, God designed it in such a way that what? God has set eternity in our hearts. The Spirit returns to God who gave it. God's trying to point us to something beyond this life, not just this life, as much as we may enjoy this life. What about my psychological pain? It keeps on happening. It happens over a long period of time. I actually heard a guy the other day on NBC. This was a new one to me. This was an older gentleman that had been affected by the virus, now in recovery, but several family members affected as well, and deaths in the family, and that was a new one to me, broken heart syndrome. Had basically a heart attack. They examined his body as far as the arteries and everything, and guess what? The strength of the heart and everything else. No physical indication at all, physically, there was anything wrong. But broken heart from all the circumstances that he had happened to him. Sometimes we put ourselves down, that's self-recrimination. Sometimes we transfer what we're feeling in relationship to the pain to something or somebody else. That's a kind of like a blame game sometimes. You know, I'm suffering because of what you're doing to me, or I'm suffering because of my situation, which may or may not be true. Sometimes people just anticipate pain. It's kind of like, you know, Ripley's Believe It or Not down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, went in there and they've got all this Ripley, Believe It or Not. Any of you ever been down to Ripley's Believe It or Not down in Gatlinburg? Okay, some of you been. They've actually got a statement by a hypochondriac there. What'd she say? On the epitaph of her tombstone, it says, "I told you I was sick." So anticipation. And of course, pain's unpredictable. Sometimes it just hangs over us like a ghost, as it were. Pain can be an addictive thing. Some people just want to and relish the idea of pain in their lives. And of course, sometimes we can deal with pain, but we don't do anything about it. That happens a lot with people in pain, doesn't it? Well, you need to go see the doctor. You need to go to the chiropractor. You need to go to a therapist, whatever. And what do people do? They don't do it. They don't treat the injury that's there. And sometimes we just don't know where pain's coming from. Where you hurting? You go to the doctor and you say, "Well, I'm hurting." "Well, can you tell me where?" "No, I'm just hurting." And sometimes that's what people say. And they don't really understand. It's the reality of that. Well, there are two things here, and I call them the no-gain pain. And there's another word I have here that I think brings it out as well. Psalm 38. I'd encourage you to read it. Why would I encourage you to read it? Because when it gets down to verse 18 and 17, it says, "I'm about to fall," David says, "and my pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity. I'm troubled by my sin." This is a psalm. In addition to saying a psalm of David, it says a petition. And when you read this psalm, basically David's saying, "Lord, I blew it. I've sinned greatly. I've fallen short of your glory. I've done all kinds of things I shouldn't have done. You shot your arrows at me. There's no soundness in my bones. I'm grieving. I'm moaning. I am in terrible shape." And part of the message there is God's wrath is revealed even against us as the children of God, as it was against David. When we're not following God, we're not doing what God wants us to do, there are automatic consequences built into God's divine sovereignty and will in our lives that we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer. And so David, by the way, there's a good closing to this psalm. So you can read that psalm and see the closing. "My pain is ever with me." Why? The pain David addresses in this psalm is his sin. We were talking about this. God, thank you. God, thank you. God, thank you. God, thank you. It's great to be thankful to God. But if we don't address the misgivings and the shortcomings in our life many times, we're missing out on great blessings from God. In admitting it and understanding the fact it's had terrible consequences in our life. We don't like the consequences of sin. None of us do. And the consequences of sin are painful. A pastor there in Piketon this last week did the funeral of his daughter. You know what I'm talking about. OD'd. I was down at the bank the other day. Went in there and talking to a gal that I know there, and we see a picture up there. And I said, "Oh," and I'm talking about that with her, and there's a picture there. And she said, "Yeah, she was close friends with," and she shows me this person in the picture. And I said, "Oh, okay, so, no, him too. Sad, isn't it? So, and it could be any kind of a sin, can't it? But then Paul says, if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. We don't like to talk about God's anger and God's wrath, but God's an angry God as well. He's an angry God. I don't like the aspect of the wrath of God and the anger. But Paul says the wrath of God in Romans 1 is being revealed against unrighteousness. I'm absolutely convinced that what's happening in America today, much of that is happening because, and the pain that's happening as a result of it is a matter of unrighteousness that's happening out there. We can't deny that. It's wrong. We know that all this stuff, the looting, the rioting, the burning, the killing, all of that's wrong. It's unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10, worldly sorrow or pain brings death. And if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer, thief, or another kind of criminal, or even as a miracle. So there's this no gain pain. I don't know if the Buckeyes are going to be playing this fall or not. But can you imagine, okay, here's the picture, metaphor. Here's the picture I'm painting this morning. Here we are, and it's like a football game. And we're all lined up, and we call the play, and the play's run, and Satan's the quarterback. And all of a sudden, everything's happening, and the pass fails. It's a run up the middle, and what happens? No gain. You see, there is no gain in sin. There's no gain in sin. None at all. And so that's the no gain pain, because there's pain that goes along with it. But there is the gain pain. Like Ryan Hall, I've fought the good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished the course. One of my many Bibles, but here are the words. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have remained faithful. Don't we all want to be able to say that like Paul did? He was at the end of his life, as it were. In fact, the figure that's used there, the time of my departure is at hand. You know what the figure behind that is? Hey, the ship's leaving the harbor. But where's the ship going? It's the gospel ship, and we're going to heaven. We're going to be with God forever. And Paul comes into his life and he says, I'm here right now, and I can say this about my life. And you and I hopefully can say that about our lives. We rejoice in our sufferings or our pains because we know that pain produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. As Gene talked about this morning at the Lord's Supper about hope. And Paul says, I consider our present pain or sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Godly pain brings repentance that leads to salvation, leaves no regret. And no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. If you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. Do we experience the discipline of God? I didn't physically, quote, whip my kids very many times growing up. We were going along one time. You know what your kids remember? You think your kids remember those times when you disciplined them? Well, as they get older, they more likely do. If you don't discipline them very much, they more likely remember those isolated times, but they needed it. So we're driving along over towards Luray, Virginia, and my two older daughters, they're in the back seat. She's putting her finger on my side. She's looking at me. She's moving towards me. She's looking mad at me. And it's going on, and you know how it is. You're driving along and you're just, you know, you're there and I'm trying to drive. And so I'm finally, what'd I do? I pulled the car over and I got them both out and I let them have it. Yeah. The belt. Yeah. Just so you're wondering, what was it? You know, is this kind of a thing or the belt? You know, if I had a belt on, I preferred the belt, you know. And then, of course, then when you did that, like my second daughter says, she said, yeah, Dad, I was doing that twirl around twist when you were trying to go ahead and hit me with the belt, you know, and everything. She remembered that, you know, I'm trying to whip her and she's going around and around and around. But you know, there is that gain pain that God wants us to have in our lives. So our pain consideration, is it just short term? I don't care what it is. You know, there's both the physical and the spiritual application of pain. And when we talk about pain and Ryan Hall and all he went through in life, you see, it wasn't just the physical pain he went through. Because Ryan Hall is a very spiritual person. That's why he wrote the book, because he was a person of faith. And what he was saying in terms of all these things that happened to me and all these painful experiences as I became that American record holder in the marathon, it was a very painful experience at many times. But guess what? It was all worth it. It was all worth it. So sometimes it's short in nature, sometimes it's long term, sometimes it's just the body. But it's that psychosomatic, you know, the mind over the body and the spiritual that we're looking at here. So in closing, you know, Paul said finally about three times in Philippians. The Philippians are reading the letter, so I wish Paul would go ahead and get to the final point. Maybe, I don't know. But yes, we're getting to the final point, just in case you wondered, okay? So, what kind of pain do you have? Is it that acute? Is it chronic? Is it physical? Is it psychological? It is all four together. And what bearing does it have on how you serve the Lord? How does God's no gain pain and gain pain help you to handle, resolve, and deal with that pain? Recognize the good and the bad of pain and how God uses it for your good and His glory. We know that in all things God works for the good. Those that love Him, called according to His purpose. When I was at the Northland Church of Christ working with Steve Campbell, Steve taught me this song. You know, Isaiah 52 and 53, it talks about Jesus, a prophecy about Jesus. And this song comes from that particular passage. Man of sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. Ruined sinners to reclaim, hallelujah, what a Savior. Lifted up was He to die, it is finished was His cry. Now exalt in heaven high, hallelujah, what a Savior. When He comes, my glorious King, all His ransom home to bring, then anew this song we'll sing, hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, praise God, praise Jehovah. Stupid of me, ignorant of me, I never knew what hallelujah meant for many years. Praise God, praise Jehovah. So every time you say hallelujah, just realize that's what you're dealing with. You see, all the bitter pain and sorrow that a time could ever be when I proudly said to Jesus, all of self and none of thee. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? My heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song. As the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with your grief and my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. We've got a caring Savior to get us through the pain. Praise God for that. Hallelujah. What a Savior that we have. Pain. Universal, but there's a universal solution to pain. And that's the Lord, who helps us to deal with whatever pains we have in our life. They're going to be there. They don't go away. But there's a greater, there's no pain, no tears, no sorrows, none of that. New heavens and new earth we're looking forward to. And we're going to sing a song of encouragement at this time. Because in Acts chapter 2, it says they were pricked in their hearts. I don't know about you, but I think they had hardening of the arteries. And they came to realize they needed to get rid of that condition. And so they were pricked in their hearts. They said, Peter, the rest of the apostles, what shall we do? He said, you repent and be baptized, every one of you. We've addressed that this morning. You know, what Paul says in Romans chapter 6, which is very significant about how you and I approach pain. I just want to mention this in finishing. When Paul says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But he says, if we've been reunited, as it were, with the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, he said, we should rise to walk in newness of life. You see, newness of life is not automatic. Our condition before God of being forgiven, yes, that's our response to His grace and His mercy. But once we've experienced that, life just isn't automatically changed. Because we should rise to walk. What are we going to walk in? The newness of life that God's made possible for us. That's in the mood of possibility in the language. It just doesn't automatically happen. We have to embrace the opportunity. The outward man and woman is decaying, yet the inward person is being renewed day by day. And that's what God wants for us. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement now if you need to respond in any way as we stand and as we sing.